Today, powerful golf. Lower your scores by changing the way you think.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Michael J. Russ is not a PGA pro, instructor, or course designer. Michael J. Russ is an author, a motivational speaker, and an avid golfer. He's had frustrating moments each round just like all of us, but his greatest skill on the course comes after a bad shot, and that's why he joins us on Golf Smarter. Welcome, Michael.
Oh, glad to be with you, Fred.
Thank you. Now, among your audiobooks are Powerful Golf, subtitled Lower Scores by Changing the Way You Think, and Powerful Self-Talk.
Yes.
Okay.
There are a couple of others, but we won't worry about those.
Not today. Now, if our listeners have heard more than one of these podcasts, you've heard me say that it's more fun to play when you golf smarter. Our first episode was on the book Zen Golf, and it remains one of the most popular programs that we have, being downloaded by new listeners each week. Actually, I received an email last week that said, "Hi, my name is Josh. I'm 20 years old, and I live in Palm Coast, Florida. And I wanted to say I love your podcast show, Golf Smarter. My favorite one by far was the episode with Zen Golf. After I listened to that one while I was on the range, I went and played nine holes and shot even par just on what I heard of the podcast." Well, anyways, love your work and love Golf Smarter. Keep the good stuff coming. Hey, Josh, congratulations and thanks for the email. But, Michael, what is Powerful Golf?
Powerful Golf is a method of using some life tools to enhance the way that you play the game, to lower your score, to lessen your frustration and anxiety in playing the game.
And that helps, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Golf is very, very, very much exactly like life. I like to say that if I find somebody who gets frustrated at putting a screw into a hole, this is the person who's going to be incredibly frustrated on a golf course. You know, because the same person, the personality traits show up in both places.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people fail to take into account, they look at equipment after equipment after equipment and even more equipment. And they keep changing equipment. But the problem is they really rarely ever change their mind. They rarely ever do anything to enhance the way that they mentally approach the game.
It's not the arrow, it's the Indian.
Exactly. It's the Indian and what the Indian's thinking. And there's a whole lot that goes into this process. And what I find amazing is that if you talk to pros are really into the mental side of the game because, really, at their level of competition, that's the only thing that separates one from another.
Tiger Woods.
Exactly.
They keep talking about that.
It's the mental side. You know, don't tell me, I mean, there's no way in the world that Mickelson couldn't have won the Bell South last week without putting his head in a certain spot, and it just kept compounding itself. He was able to put together a four-day stretch where his mind was in the right spot. And that's the challenge with most golfers on a day-to-day basis, is keeping the momentum going. And most of us, we play maybe a round or two or three a week, but not all, you know, one day after another under that kind of pressure. But we can really enhance our games if we approach things differently. And a lot of it is with the way that we let shots go, let the foibles of our attempts go.
I love the way you said, maintain mental clarity after a disappointing result.
Exactly. You have to. Really, really, the position you want to put your mind in is one of recovery. Golf is a recovery game. That's what it is. It's because you have to expect imperfection. And so what do? If you go out there expecting perfection, you're going to be frustrated to the ends of the earth, and you're going to throw your clubs in the water, give the game up forever after a few rounds. Because things aren't ever going to go the way that you might think or believe that they can. But it takes lots of practice in order to hone in that skill of being able to hit the ball squarely every time. So what do you do then? How are you going to make peace with the game? The only way you can make peace with the game is to say, okay, I expect imperfection. Then what? Okay, then what? I say, okay, great. I am going to recover. I'm going to work on the fact that if this shot doesn't come up, this drive doesn't go right down the middle of the fairway, then, hey, no big deal. I've got a shot for coming out of wherever it is. Then the fun of the game begins. The fun of the game is, how do I recover successfully? And then the challenge is, how do I make par from the trees? You see? And then you might even make birdie.
Yeah.
You've got to put yourself in that possibility, that solution-based mindset. And that involves getting rid of the clutter, mental clutter of the negativity of the previous round, the previous shot, which is what most people fail to do. And that's pretty much the extent of it.
Mm. Well, aren't we hooked on this game? Don't we love playing this game because we think we can beat it?
Yeah, that's just, it is very true. We really think that we can do it. And believe it or not, everyone who plays the game at one shot or another does beat the game, if you want to take it down to a microscopic level. You know, everybody has a shot during a round. I don't care what the score was. Everybody has a shot that creates that aha moment in their mind when they go, wow, I really can play this game. And sometimes it happens, and it's amazing and uncanny how many times it happens at the absolute end of the round. You know, it's that last shot. I don't care how bad your round was. You make this putt that's unbelievable on the 18th hole, and it just makes you want to come back and play. And all of a sudden, that one shot seems to wipe out all the other bad shots.
And why is it always the 18th hole that we have our best shot?
I've been trying to figure that one out for a while.
It's always that way. It's like, oh, God, I've been so frustrated all day, now I have the best shot. It's like, oh, I can't wait to play again.
Exactly. You go, I love this game. I used to say, and my girlfriend says all the time, you know, I love this game, I hate this game, I hate this game. Oh, I love this game. And, you know, it's that love-hate relationship that you have to get rid of. You have to flush that, change your mind around so it's not a love-hate relationship. It's really a game where you can go out and you can challenge yourself to recover from mistakes. And in a four-hour period of time, you experience more frustration than in this game than you really experience in life, sometimes in an entire year. I mean, you're getting lots of adversity, I like to say, during a round of golf. And it's really that your challenge is to go out there and overcome the adversity of the game. And you have to do it with a mental perspective. And you have to expect problems. And then you have to put your mind in a solution-based mode versus a frustrated, angry, let me throw my clubs around, why can't I do it mode.
Right. You're talking to me here.
Exactly.
We've never played before, but why does it feel like you've been watching me?
Well, because you and I represent, you know, we're average golfers, man. That's what it is. I write books for the average guy, you know, not the professional. The professional already knows what's going on. But the majority of golfers in this country, the millions of golfers out there, the 99% of the golfers out there that are not professionals, or 99.9% of golfers are not professionals, they're average, man. We're out there playing once a week, twice a week, maybe three times a week. If we're retired, maybe we're playing every day. I don't know. But, you know, I know people who play a lot whose scores don't come down. And I looked at them and I say, why is that? It's because they're stuck in the same mental mode. They're still looking at the game in the same way that they've always looked at it. And this, like life, it's very difficult for people to get them to change their mental perspective, their outlook on something. They're stuck in that groove, so to speak, of thinking a certain way. And in golf, you have to change your way of thinking. And this is challenging for people.
So I guess the obvious question is, how?
Well, very simply, I like to say the first step in anything is awareness. You have to accept the fact that you are a person who does make mistakes, which is something most people really fail to want to say about themselves. I make mistakes. Okay, great. I accept that fact. Okay, if I'm making more mistakes than I need to, then what do I do then? I'm aware now. I have awareness, which is the foundation of everything. Foundation of learning is awareness. The foundation of change is awareness. I am now aware of this situation. Do I want, then ask yourself a question, do I want to change it or do I want to stay in my same pattern? And if they say, I want to change it, they say, great, let's take action that can help me do it. So then you have to get, you have to micromanage yourself, your thinking for a while, and decide, okay, do I want to go get some lessons? Why don't I have somebody take a look at what I'm doing? Maybe I'm doing something that I can't see. And then that's a way of launching yourself in a new direction. Another way is to listen to an audiobook or watch your DVD or listen to my audiobook, and it brings out a few things like choice. Maybe I'm not handling the consequences of my mistakes the way that I should. Maybe there's another way to look at that. Instead of them being mistakes, maybe they're lessons for, it's a lesson that I can learn something from and launch me in a different direction. So there's various ways to come at this, but first thing you have to do is become aware that you actually need some help in the area in order to improve. Decide whether you want to improve. Most golfers don't want to improve. Do you believe that?
They don't want to improve maybe their mental side. They think they got that. I think people want to improve. I think people want to lower their scores. It's an interesting question, because when you really get into it, it's like, yeah, I want to improve, but how? I don't have time to practice more. I can't afford to do lessons because I'm putting all my money into playing golf.
I think from a perspective of golf is a game that's got, there must be at least 500 shots in the game. I mean, if you really want to look down into it. I mean, why is Tiger so good? Because Tiger has mastered many shots over the years. And most golfers have a repertoire of maybe 5-10 shots. How can you improve your game? Improve your shot-making ability, if you want to get down to it. And that has nothing to do with buying a new club. That's the process.
Right.
It's actually a process. And I had a pro tell me one time, he says, not everybody, this is a great teaching pro, and he's a good friend of mine. He said, not everybody has the ability to play this game. They're only going to get to a certain point, and that's it. It's because they don't have the mental or physical capacity to shoot the kind of scores that maybe their buddies are shooting. I mean, I don't know. And personally, from a teaching perspective, he was coming at that in all sincerity. He says, I can see it. I can see somebody who has talent for the game, and I can see somebody who's just going to be struggling for the game at the game no matter what they do. And I said, okay, then it's a point of acceptance in terms of your ability. You have to accept yourself as you are now and do everything that you can, or make a decision to do everything that you can to get better. And even if it means group lessons, take a group lesson, the 6 lessons for, I don't know, $80 or something like that over the course of 6 weeks, you're going to learn something different. Videos are very inexpensive. To be able to learn some techniques. Heck, the Golf Channel, my gosh, there's enough stuff on there that you can pick up a few tidbits that you can go out and you can try on the course, and it's free. You know, you can go out to the driving range and try out a couple of things. Go play a par 3 to improve your short game. Drop the ball instead of using a tee, and pretend you're on the course this is your approach shot. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we can do it, but we have to expand our minds to take all of this into account.
I'm going to let that sit in for a second. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's Golf Smarter, one word, @TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
Michael, I discovered you through Bunkershot.com, where you do, monthly articles there?
About every month and a half. Okay. I do an article for them, yeah.
And tell me, where else can we find you?
Well, let's see. I have articles on my website as well.
And the website is?
Website is Powerful Living. That's all one word, powerfulliving.org, powerfulliving.org.
Okay.
And I have written in the past for African American Golfers Digest as well. I write for TransitionTimes.com, which is a extreme sports website, and DressageDaily.com, which is a horse website. Interestingly enough, mental side can be applied to everything.
And tell me the books that we can find that you've done.
There's Powerful Golf, which is my golf audio book, for Lower Your Score by Changing the Way You Think. I've got Powerful Self-Talk, Change Your Self-Talk, Change Your Life, which is completely applicable to golf and everything else in life. Powerful Sales for People in the Sales Industry. It's how to manage your energy and achieve your goals. And my latest audiobook is Design Your Life Using Self-Talk to Create Your Life One Day at a Time.
And you recently became competition.
I recently became competition.
You're doing podcasts as well.
Well, yeah, I do a Powerful Living podcast. It's under Powerful Living under iTunes, just about 4 to 5 minutes, suggestions of what people, things people can do to improve the mental side of their life, to live a happier life right now and not some point down the line, and some exercises on how they can improve their awareness or expectations, other things that can help them to live the kind of life they envision.
Fabulous. Well, I think the right now part is what intrigues me, and that's part of the motivation for Golf Smarter is lowering your score right now. And I think that can be done through the mental side of the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is, you can take one mental perspective out on the course with you, and if you focus on that mental perspective, your score will come down. You will save shots, and you'll do it right now. And that's really, I mean, I've had people listen to my audiobook. A buddy called me on the phone wildly after he listened to it and went out and played around. He shot without practicing, he shot a better round by about 7 strokes than he'd ever shot before.
Wow.
Because he was not giving up shots. And this is the process, and I'll run it down to you. Your mental and physical side have to be in sync. If your mind says you can't do it or doubts that you can do it, then your body isn't in some magical way going to produce the best shot of your life. Those two are incongruent. They must be in sync. So if you say, I can do this shot, I see this shot, I can envision myself doing this. You walk up to a shot, you're in trouble, you're in the trees, and you're looking at it and you're going, okay, if I go right, I don't hit that shot that often. If I go left, I can hit a left to right shot because I usually do that kind of shot. So if I go out that way, why don't I just hit it out that way, take a lower lofted club, and I'll see what happens. But I won't take a club that will hit it all the way through the fairway, you know, into the out of bounds if it doesn't go right. Great. All right. Tell you what. And this is all talking to yourself. You say, I can do this. Okay, let me get up here, relax, and all right, let me take a practice swing. And you know, you kind of talk yourself right through it. Nowhere in that conversation in your mind is there a, I can't do this, I doubt whether I can. You get up there and you hit the shot. That is the way you have to play the game. Forget about how you got into the trees, okay? Because what you can control is only what you're doing in the moment. That's what you can control. The present moment is where everything happens. That's where life happens. And if you're not there, then you're somewhere else where you shouldn't be. In the past, forget that. It's already happened. Can't do anything about it. Let it go.
Oh, but come on. I know that I've done this. I laugh every time I hear every other person I play with do this, and I'm sure you have too. When you play a course that you've played multiple times, you tend to step up to the tee box going, I always hit the ball in the water here.
Actually, that's a thought that I have flushed out of my mind. Because, honest to God, that's one of the things that, you know, because I'm a big self-talk fanatic. So I would have stopped myself in mid-thought. I would have said, this is where I want to focus. This is where I'm going to hit the shot. The water doesn't exist. And this is the point. People will make that self-talk mistake, and they'll do it with every hazard they come up with. They're bringing up that past foible instead of the past success. Did you hit the ball? How many times have you successfully hit the ball over the water? Tell me.
I don't remember. I keep remember hitting the ball in the water.
You can't tell me that every time you play that course, you hit the ball in the water.
Oh, there's that few times. Oh, I did that once, but every other time I hit the ball in the water.
No, no. See, you have to focus on the one time you did
Right.
And that's really it. I had my girlfriend used to have the same problem going over water when she was a beginner. Mm-hmm. She spent 2 years, you know, lamenting about every time she got to a hole. As a matter of fact, she'd make it a point of telling everybody we played with the same thing, the same story about how I always hit the ball in the water on this hole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you stand up to the tee and say that? I mean, that is a recipe for disaster if I've, you know, it's drawing it up on a blackboard. You know, ball goes off tee in the water. You can figure out, you can draw so many lines into the water, it's insane. That's what your mind does. It draws, it literally, again, creates this incongruency between your mind and the actions that you really have to take. And you cannot have that incongruency. It must be in sync. And so if you just did that one thing, if you just went out to the course next time and you only thought what you wanted to do instead of what you used to do or what you don't want to do on the whole, your game would improve dramatically. Your ability would magically improve. I guarantee you that one thing will save you 4 or 5 strokes in a game.
I believe.
Exactly.
Well, it just does, you know, the thing that cracks me up about that is, okay, you've hit the ball in the water every time. What is that relevant to right now?
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with right now.
It has nothing to do with right now. Your ability today can be mountains, you know, light years away from where it was even 2 weeks ago. Even yesterday, if you played yesterday and shot a 92, today you can shoot a 79. But if you're still thinking about the reasons why you shot a 92 yesterday, then you'll never shoot the 79 today. And believe me, I have done this. I have shot 89, 79 in 2 consecutive days. So it is, and bottom line is, it's all a fresh slate. Every time you step up to the next shot, it's a fresh slate. Anything can happen. And that's really the way you have to play. That's the exciting part about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of focusing on the negativity and all the problems and frustrations that you think you're having, the fun part is that when you step up to that shot or putt, I don't care what it is, it has the possibility of going where you really want it to go. It has that possibility. Even if it's by complete happenstance, it still has a chance. And to me, that is fascinating.
In one of your articles, Mental Game Strategy Number 12,
mm-hmm.
You had 2 lines there that really were the takeaway for me. I just loved it. It said, golf is played 1 shot at a time, and your next shot has the potential to be your greatest.
Exactly. Exactly. That is so true. You and that's the recovery thinking. That's the recovery mode of thought, that if you lived it in every shot, you would be amazed at exactly what would happen. And that's true. Your next shot, it's a putting your mind in the mode of possibilities and miracles, because that's what the game is as well. Everything's possible. Miracles happen. And they happen when you believe that you can actually do something. Now, of course, within the realm of, if you're a 10-shot person, if you've got 10 good shots, and all you did was play those 10 good shots, and you believed you could hit them, your confidence level would be high, right?
Exactly.
Okay, because people who try new things on a course don't have the confidence. You try those on the driving range in practice, you know, around the pitching
Absolutely.
Green.
You should never try new things or listen to people during a round.
Exactly. You have to stick to what you know and practice what you don't know till it becomes familiar somewhere else. That's where you do that. You hit 100 balls, you pitch 100 shots around the pitching green to try a new concept so you can get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out and try it. And good players, I mean, I have the ability to try a shot that I've never done before on the golf course. But I'm in my mind, I've already got the expectation that it could go wrong. And if it does go wrong, I've got a contingency. In other words, I'm not using too much club so that if I hit it left, you know, if I want to draw the ball around a tree, I'm not using a shot that a club that would put me in trouble if it went awry. That's really the point. And so I have allowed myself a bailout point, which I got to say, I don't know how many golfers do this, but I've seen so many of them. From an awareness perspective, you have to always have the contingency of a bailout. Every pro does. You know, it's like the water's on the right. Where's the place where you can miss the shot? You're always thinking this. Instead of just getting up to the ball and just hitting the shot haphazardly without thinking, or grabbing a club out of your bag that will get you to the green, but if it goes wrong, if you go left of the green, you're going to be in the water, and if you go right of the green, you're in the bunker or whatever. You have to keep in mind where your bailout points are and the lay of the land. Have an awareness of all of this and take all that information into consideration before you hit the shot. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think that one of the things that we try to do here on the Golf Smarter podcast, especially when we talk to course pros about their course, is to kind of treat it like a chess game. Is when you're standing on the tee box, start at the green in your mind and work your way backwards.
Correct.
Where do you want to put the ball? You know, just exactly. Work two shots ahead of yourself.
Yeah. Any golfer of any ability, every golfer, no matter what your ability, can use that mindset. And this is my point. I have a chapter in my book called Be, Do, Have, which is be the golfer you want to be in your mind first. Do those actions that are necessary in order to get there, or the actions that person would take. If you just adopted the mental perspective of Tiger Woods without having his ability, you're going to become a better golfer right away.
Bingo.
Exactly. Just adopt the mental perspective. Just examine exactly what it does. Develop a pre-shot routine, even if you have to freaking copy it until you come up with one that really works for you. I mean, if you put yourself in his mind, you will literally become better. You will play a better game. You'll change your tempo. Your mindset will transform. And that's really what's important here, is that the mental aspect of the game is where you can make great leaps beyond your existing talent, but your talent will catch up, so to speak. Okay? And that's where it is. That is so important, to be in your mind that particular shot. Think it. Be the pro, be the professional that you think that you have the ability to be now. Why wait? Why say someday I'm going to be a better golfer? Why not say I'm a better golfer right now and believe it? Just go out and hit some shots, do some practice, or go out and play as you are a better golfer, as you believe yourself to be.
Michael, will you come back and visit us again?
Anytime you'd like, my friend.
Oh, man, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm glad that I had a really good time. I really like your show.
Thank you very much.
And I hope that everybody has learned something from this particular episode.
I have a feeling they. If you didn't, slap your wrist.
Yeah, absolutely, it's a fun game. Go out, enjoy it.
This isn't radio. This is a podcast. If you didn't get anything out of this show, start it again and listen over because you weren't paying attention.
Exactly. There are so many tidbits. There's so much, but the main thing I think that people need to take away from this is that the mind and body have to be in sync in order for the game to work well. And however you do that, with your products, listening to this podcast, getting your DVD, getting my audio book, however you decide to do it, that's what you have to do. You have to take that next step and believe.
Once again, proof positive that there are ways to lower your score by using your head, not gadgets.
Absolutely.
Michael, thanks for mentioning our DVD because we're giving one away. If you'd like to win a T-Tour DVD featuring the course at Wente Vineyards, hosted by Chris Conway, director of golf, who we did a podcast with just a few weeks ago, send us an email with the subject contest with your name and where you're from to golfsmarter@ttour.com. And the first winner will be announced on our podcast the first week of May. And remember, if you haven't learned this from Michael, it's always more fun to play better, and you play better when you golf smarter. Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.